now I would like to introduce Carla Schwartz, who's a poet who also sometimes plays the piano and sings. And she's going to be the guest host for some of the open mic performers tonight. And so after she performs, she'll be doing that for a bit. This gentleman passing through is one of our featured artists, Steve Sadler. You're going to love this guy. All right, there he is. Okay, please welcome Carla Schwartz, and I believe she's going to read a poem of hers.
Okay, since it's such a quiet night, I thought I'd read you a piece that's unusual for me. It's a slightly longer piece. It's called Living a Dream. Now that your sister is turning 90, we will celebrate just as we did at 80. That was St. Augustine, and you and Dad drove down from New York while I flew in from Boston. The photo is still stuck to Dad's fridge. I'm standing behind in the sand, wearing sand-colored clothes. My hand is on your shoulder as if I'm the mother. I'm seemingly blown out of my sleeveless shirt To be kind, I'll say it must have been the humidity and my inability to look good in two dimensions. And my hair, I had just washed it after swimming. I looked all head. If I had really been that fat, you would have let me know at every meal, and I don't remember your doing that time. There was that one Thanksgiving you did, however, and I'd swore I'd never come home again. Funny how these things change. I'd forgotten you had driven down, but Heidi reminded me today when we were talking about Maya's birthday, which is coming in Miami in May, and how Dad might go, but won't he be sad and feel out of place if you aren't there? And won't we all be sad you aren't there? But of course you can't be. Heidi was saying how crazy it was to drive from New York, but you did that back then. You used to do that, drive to Florida at the drop of a hat. You drove to visit me when I lived in Gainesville. I had to beg my friend, who was an atheist, to join us for a diaspora seder you wanted to perform from the script you had brought from Woodstock and copied. In 2004, you went down to Jacksonville in your car with New York plates to drive folks to the polls. I still have the t-shirt. When Gore lost, you asked, "Where are we moving now? Canada? Europe?" We had those German passports, after all. Ironic they might serve us to bring us back to Europe. I remember the first time I saw you crying was in a supermarket in 1963. They announced something on the PA about the president. I was helpless to stop your tears, and my own flowed as I took your hand. I don't remember going through the line. Now your sister is 90, you could be 81, your brother's 80. This time, one time, you and your brother Stefan both visited me in Montreal. Everyone stared at you two as we walked down the street. You looked like twins. You outlived him. Maya, whose father was not the same as yours, outlived you both. When Stefan died, you told a story of your childhood together in Germany, the story of illnesses and inseparability, of restrictions and fleeing and refugees, to tell at his funeral. And at your end, you told a version of the story to a rabbi who read it at your funeral, a woman rabbi, of course. You told the story of the six-year-old you were. You told the story of your escape from Germany in the words of the six-year-old you were when you left. You said a doctor punctured your eardrums, that he must have been Jewish to have treated you in 1934. You cried to the page at being sent away to recover from TB at 3. How sad you were not to recognize your mother when she gathered you back. How you sassed the nurses at the sanatorium in your child German, du kaka du. They thought you were teasing about a bird. You were calling them shits. Later, you used that on me quite a bit in English, you little shit, when you thought I was, and I probably was. You told how your mother borrowed money to get you out of Germany and onto a boat to Cuba where you were interned, and then onto Miami, Massachusetts, finally settling in New York. how your mother killed chickens upstate for a summer so you and Stefan could have fresh air, while your father, who loved Wagner's music so much, he middle-named you Isolde, and Stefan Siegfried repeated his exams and neurology residency. Before you died, you told the rabbi a story about a dollhouse with painted shutters and electrified lamps. The story made as much sense as a dream, as much sense as you're telling your friends in the hospital bed that I was pregnant when I wasn't. But isn't dying a lot like dreaming? The dollhouse you played with as a girl became the dollhouse you bought for Heidi and I to play with as girls. After we left home, you made it your own. You added tiny furnishings, little electric LED lamps. Were those the little lamps the ones you said were in the dollhouse in 1934? Could there have been a working lamp? I have a recording of your voice, a message you left on my machine. The text seemed inconsequential, about tablecloths from Germany, your first home, a blue one, a yellow. You spoke the dimensions with such precision as if they mattered to me. Was there something in your voice that made me record it? I knew before I knew something was changing, and we found out leukemia a few weeks later. It's a snowy light night in March, and I am alone. It's been 2 years since I've made a fire. One of my one-match wonders, I used to call them. All of them were, except the last one that fizzled on start, as I couldn't attend to it and a party at the same time. This fire is built from the same logs. I hadn't taken them down. Tonight, the flames roar and pop and sizzle and flicker with heat and light inside. Outside, the sky is crying snowflakes. I am seated on the couch near the pottery totem you built, another Cape summer. Your vessel is a pitcher and nests like those Russian dolls, one piece inside another. At the top of the outermost is your head. You are smiling. You are wearing a string of beads, and your long hair curls all around. The piece is dotted with iconic imagery: skis, skates, swimming, equations. Your two girls. The penultimate smallest piece is a clay shaker, milky glazed, sealing the tiniest inside. Your secrets. You had told me are in there. They will rattle there forever. I think I'm going to end here because it's too long for you guys. Thank you. Sorry about that. It's just too long.